You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Past the hour at 3 o'clock, it is the Gym Class for a midweek Wednesday here on KGYM. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes here from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Did I see Ben? Did I hear Ben over there? Ben stopped by? Is he still there? No. Boy, thank him for, you know, poking his head in the studio. You know, we don't want to forget about him or anything like that. Jeez. We have a good show coming up for you. Mark Ironside will stop by and we'll talk college wrestling, Hawkeye wrestling with you coming up here in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. We'll take a look at what's coming up as far as college basketball tonight is concerned. Look back at last night's Iowa State win at home over the Texas Longhorns. We'll talk about that with you and discuss it in just a little bit. The Iowa women in action tonight in East Lansing. They will take on the Michigan State Spartans. The Iowa State women in action as well. We have that game for you coming up tonight right here on KGYM starting at 6 o'clock. Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to that website at dupaco.com. And text line available to you today, as always. And we'd love to interact with you. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and reach out to us in that fashion, again, that is 319-366-1600. This afternoon, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And a lot to chew on today. Got a Bowling Night in America preview, of course.
Yes, we do.
And an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard coming up. In addition to, as you mentioned, Mr. Ironside.
Yeah, Mark will join us coming up here in just a little bit. We'll get to Iowa State and Texas from last night coming up here in just a moment. And but you know what? I didn't think that was the best thing on television last night. I was skeptical going in, and I must admit, I had a lot of viewing after I got back from my game last night, but the reboot of Night Court, Mark, good television. I was a bit skeptical going in, but thank goodness for John Larroquette.
I was not aware. That's a really good show.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
It was a great show. And Melissa Rauch is, she's the new judge. She's playing Harry Stone's daughter. Of course, Harry Anderson played Harry Stone, and really good, very funny.
Is Marky Post in that? Or
well, no, she passed, remember, at the end of last year.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I believe that John Larroquette is the last of the original cast that is still with us on.
Marky was in the original.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. She was not the first of the defense lawyers. By the way, not to spoil anything, but John Larroquette, Dan Fielding, is now a defense lawyer instead of the prosecutor, which is an interesting twist on things. But check it out. It's really good. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Iowa State with a big win last night over the Texas Longhorns at a raucous Hilton Coliseum in Ames, as Iowa State ties for the lead now as far as the Big 12 is concerned. 78-67 as Iowa State pulled away late. The start of the game was a Texas. They got out to a lead anyway, but Iowa State just kind of reeled them in and reeled them in. Defense started to play. They shut down Tyrese Hunter basically for the last 30 minutes of that basketball game. A couple guys really coming to the forefront for Iowa State. Jaron Holmes was terrific. He had 21 points in the game. He was helped out by Gabe Kalscher. Caleb Grill as well. Caleb Grill, not a favorite in the state of Texas today, by the way. Can we just say that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan favorite in the Lone Star State today. But that was a good win for Iowa State and T.J. Otzelberger.
Excellent win. And second straight opponent that was ranked in the top 10. And Iowa State got them. They're going to be very, very tough to beat at home. I know Kansas and TCU have to go to Hilton yet, but that crowd was worth a few points.
It was worth, I think, 10 points.
That much?
I think so. They were sharp last night.
Well, it was balanced scoring, as you outlined partially. And really the key to the game, I thought, was that defense translated into a Texas drought in the second half that lasted about 7, 8, 9 minutes, I think.
It did. Iowa State moves up a couple spots as far as the net ranking. They're number 8 now as far as their net is concerned. And, yeah, Iowa State really did a good job on the defensive side of things. 4 for 17, Texas was, shooting threes last night. Not going to win many games getting that accomplished. And Iowa State certainly did a very, very good job on the perimeter last night. And as I mentioned, Tyrese Hunter got off to a good start. It was a, you know, the Cyclone Alley let Tyrese know they were there, but I think they did it basically in a very, very, it could have been a whole lot worse for Tyrese Hunter last night. Let's just say that. And the way it sounded, just reading things on social networking and things like that last night, was that as they were coming in, and again, I don't know how you would even go about enforcing this, but the folks were telling the students to be classy. Let's just say that last night. And I thought they were. I thought they were fine while giving Tyrese the business a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter took, even in pregame warmups, he was taking jibes from fans.
That was probably the worst part. Because 45 minutes before the game, the entire student section was filled from rafter to court. And they were only there to give Tyrese Hunter the business at that point.
Well, the most important part of it was that Iowa State shut him down for the last 30 minutes. He had 9 points early, but then only one after that.
Yeah. 7508 says, a gift suggestion for your favorite Cyclone friend, ESPN Plus. Listen to it right here on KGYM. We have all of the play-by-play that you need. And it's brought to you by Lisa Nolan. Lisa Nolan, realtor, a lifelong Cyclone fan. She's the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State basketball. And you can find out more about Lisa at lisanolanrealtor.com. And you can also find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com. Thanks to her for that. Iowa State now tied with both Kansas and K-State due to what happened in Manhattan last night. Kansas State stunning the world, I guess. Maybe? They're 16-2, Mark.
Maybe.
That's a good basketball team.
And a tough place to play. It was a one-point game. Kansas could have survived it with a little measure of luck. But Kansas State, kind of the darling of the country, I think, at this point.
I think they're the surprise team of the country.
Yeah.
Right now. And, I mean, they can get after you. Again, it's transfer portal. It's basically a new roster as far as the Wildcats are concerned, but that's the way of life in 2023, right? I mean, you replenish things. Look at Iowa State. A lot of new faces around for the Cyclones this year. That's just the way it is. And you adjust or you get left behind, right? Or you come up with some sort of a plan. Either you're going to hit the high school front very, very well, or you're going to go into the transfer portal?
That's just what makes preseason way too early, top 25s, so nonsensical. Especially in basketball, because you're not going to know the composition of the roster for many months, probably. That's true in football as well. But it's the reason a lot of teams not expected to do well, are doing well.
Yeah. And Kansas State certainly is one of those teams. Florida Atlantic, another one. One loss this year for the Owls, the Fighting Owls of Florida Atlantic, making a lot of noise right now as far as college basketball is concerned. Iowa was scheduled to play Northwestern. Of course, we talked about that yesterday at length. That game has been postponed. There's no makeup date set. Iowa next in action on Saturday afternoon in Columbus when they will take on the Ohio State Buckeyes for a 1 o'clock tip-off on the Big Fox with Gus. Gus will be in Columbus on the call for the Hawks and the Buckeyes.
And that's followed by the Chris Street documentary, much anticipated.
Well, not Saturday. That's tonight.
That's tonight. I'm sorry. Right. I thought you were talking about tonight.
No, Saturday.
But, yeah, tonight's game follows the documentary follows the Ohio State-Nebraska game. And then the January 31st, 1993 game, or 94. 93. At Michigan, or against Michigan.
Against Michigan, yeah. Here in Iowa City. And that's the first home game after Chris's passing. The first game was at East Lansing against Michigan State after Iowa had a couple of games postponed due to Chris's passing. And Iowa won that game, too, up at Michigan State, up at the Breslin Center, a brand spanking new Breslin Center at that time. And that was a big comeback as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. But, yeah, you mentioned it. We'll talk a little bit about the Chris Street documentary as well coming up a little bit later on here, as that is going to be airing tonight at approximately 8 o'clock. And it's going to come after the Big Ten game coming up tonight at 6 o'clock between Ohio State and Nebraska from over at Lincoln. So then it'll be the Chris Street documentary, and like I said, we'll talk about that coming up before 4 o'clock here today. Other games tonight, you got in the Missouri Valley Conference. You've got UNI at home. They will take on Illinois State tonight at 7 o'clock. Drake is at home as well. They will take on the Missouri State Bears tonight at 7 o'clock as well. And that... those are games that both the Panthers and the Bulldogs should win at home, correct?
You would think.
One game on the docket in the Big Ten on a Wednesday night. Why is that? There was one Big Ten game on Saturday, last Saturday. One game in the Big Ten. That's crazy. We're showing our age here.
How many on Sunday?
There were more, but one game on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break, come back. Mark Ironside's here in studio, and we're going to talk to Mark here about college wrestling, Hawkeye wrestling, and the big battle with Nebraska coming up this weekend. We'll do that when we return. It is Gym Class here on KGYM. Back after a look at the weather and a break.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And winter weather advisories will go into effect later today as rain, ice, and snow lead to slick conditions for the evening commute. We're going to start off with some rain initially this afternoon, changing over to some freezing rain and sleet. There will then eventually be some snow mixing in, but there could be some minor ice accumulations leading to slick conditions on the roads. We then will have the potential of seeing a couple of inches of snowfall accumulation as light snow persists into Thursday morning. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The world has faced a lot of challenges since the 1940s when Willa Dickens walked in the door of Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. And over the decades, as his business and family grew, he realized that jewelry is more than mere metals and stones. It's a message, one that's lasting and meaningful. It can be something you say to yourself, like cheery, colorful gemstones that tell you beautiful days are ahead. Or a diamond that says, you are stronger than you know. Jewelry from Hertin and Stocker can also offer a special message to someone else, conveying sentiments like, I love you, I appreciate your friendship, or I can't wait until we see each other again. It's a beautiful statement you make to yourself or the people who are important in your life, especially now. So stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Back with you at 3:20 here in the gym class on KGYM. As we take you through the Wednesday edition of the show, we are going to talk about the Chris Street documentary a little bit coming up and more before 4 o'clock here today. And speaking of that, on the text line, 2401 saying that Michigan State game was epic. I was bowling that night and everyone stopped bowling to watch the game. How about that? That doesn't happen very often. Says many tears were shed that night. It's going to be a one Kleenex box tonight if you're watching the Chris Street special. It's going to be seeing everything, the previews for it. Oh, boy. This is going to be this is going to tug at your heartstrings tonight.
You were younger than him, right? You had not reached Iowa yet?
No, I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah,
you were
there. What year was that? I'm trying to think of the
93.
Year.
I thought you were in high school in 93.
Well, I was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was my senior year.
True.
So it was right before I went there.
Yeah. I looked that up, too, by the way. You're still in the record book.
For what?
For winning at Jefferson.
At Jefferson?
You're still in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought somebody beat me for something. I don't know, but I don't think it was takedowns.
Mm.
Or maybe, I don't think so, pins. Who knows? I don't know.
The way things are going,
I love Rob Martin to death, but I think it's going to probably be a while before
I think so.
That goes bye-bye.
Mark Ironside joining us here in studio. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee, and big thanks to Kurt for helping us out with our wrestling talk on the gym class here on KGYM. And first of all, before we get into wrestling, let's talk about the polar plunge.
It was cold. It was still cold.
You dove, correct?
I dove. It wasn't a pretty dive, but I dove. It was shockingly 7.5 inches of ice.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But it was so cold. It never, ever gets warmer, ever. But my daughters, Grace and Maggie, jumped too. They jumped in with Telford, and they both, and I had to kind of like almost kick them in the butt to do it, and Telford kind of helped out, and that's why they did it. And then they get out, and they had so much fun, and they get home that night and said, we'd do that again next year. I'm like, all right, perfect.
Perfect.
See, sometimes you just need a little push.
Bobby didn't push them, though, right?
No, I asked him because I didn't get to see. I was behind him, but it was dark out. I wish they'd start doing it in the light again so you could see better. But how it went when they got down to the water, I was like, what was your thought? Like, did you like get there and you kind of like freeze? And like, oh, no, I don't want to do it. And they're like, no, we just got down there. I was like, let's get it over with. Boom, just jumped right on in. So it's how you do it. The longer you think about it, the worse it gets.
Well, and good day for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club.
Yeah, they hit their goal of 150,000. I think they got into the 153,000 range or some change. So it was phenomenal. It was great. I am so blessed to have so many wonderful friends and contributors, and ended up way surpassing my goal of 20,000. Got to 25,700 and some change. Alex Marinelli was the winner this year. Every year, I'm just kind of like the carrot, which is awesome. If you're ever going to be runner-up in something, this is the thing to be runner-up in. Every year there's a guy, I think down in Florida or something, I don't know, but donates whatever I have. He matches it plus throws in a couple extra $1,000. So the more I raise, the more he has to throw in, the more for the club. And every year they usually pick someone different within the Hawkeye Club organization. Last year it was actually Mariah Marinelli, and then this year it was Alex.
I was
going
to say Mariah probably was responsible for a lot of that fundraising.
She does a lot better job, but I don't think he like fundraised. He showed up that night with $5,000 and he left with 27. So I mean, in two pledges, you know, I mean, it was, I don't think there's a whole lot involved. They just said, okay, yep, we're going to give our money to that guy. So it's awesome. It was great for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and helps keep people around, keep the athletes around. And like right now, you know, Lugo and, Cody Chittum and who's, you know, a future prep Hawkeye, and Alex Marinelli and DeSano, they're all over in France right now. And that's what helps pay for those trips and go to compete in these overseas tournaments. So appreciate it and applaud everybody that participated. And I look forward to doing it all over again next year, except for the jumping in the water part.
Let's look back to the Northwestern meet, a 27-9 Iowa victory. The exclamation point had to be Spencer Lee.
Oh,
but your takeaway on that?
My takeaway was it was like past my bedtime mark. Did you stay up for that whole thing?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Jeez. I'm like, you know, it's a good thing that Northwestern started it. They wanted to draw and they started at 33. I'm very surprised that they actually wrestled. Augustino from Northwestern, because he hadn't wrestled since the beginning of December. And your first match back is going to be against Spencer Lee. I mean, even if he would flukely pin Spencer, I mean, still the dual meet's out of contention, out of reach. They're not going to win it. And I have a ton of respect for the Northwestern coaching staff and DeAugustino himself, because he still came out and he wrestled his first match back. And you know how upset those fans would have been? As I looked at my phone, as they were playing We Will Rock You and the fans are up on their feet and I got goosebumps and it's just so awesome. And what if DeAugustino doesn't come on the mat and he forfeits? That's what's wrong with our sports today. Not to get on some tangent or whatever, but too many times we don't wrestle guys and we forfeit, and for good reason, and I understand it, and then sometimes it's just, I don't get it. And that particular time right there, they could have easily just said, you know what? We're not going to throw him out there against Spencer. First match back. He hasn't been on the mat for a month. You know, that's kind of dumb, you know. But they still did it. And the fans of Iowa Wrestling that were in Cover Hawk Arena that night, I hope they understand that and they think about that and they appreciate that, because that place was crazy. And especially not only when he walked out, but when he got the pin and how he got it was Spencer Lee. Like and how he went head hunting and he hit the shot that he did, but then able to hold him on his back and put him there and then re-put him there, and it was awesome to see. Not too many people at all can pull off that fall like how he got it and how he put DeAugustino in that position.
It was crazy. That move and how he hit it, how quick. It was over in 10 seconds.
And that's a move where a lot of people that sweep single like that, they get a two-point takedown. They don't even hold on to the arm. And I'm getting very technical here. A lot of people aren't going to be able to follow me on this, you know, show. But he holds on to the arm as he hits that sweep. And then actually, a lot of people won't even hold on the arm. They get the leg. They get the angle. They know they have the takedown. They let go of the arm. They're happy. They're content with a two-point takedown. Now, Spencer, he hangs on to the arm. Gets the guy down, hip down, far hip down, and then starts lifting the leg, and then switches to the half, and then goes for the kaboom. And DeAugustino starts to roll through. Spencer readjusts. He holds him, and that referee got down there, and there was no even count. It was just boom, it's over. You know, and that's where everything happens in a millisecond, and you have to be thinking ahead, and it's all a feel, and that's the stuff you can't teach. What Spencer Lee did right there, he made it look so easy. It's not even remotely that easy, and you can't teach what he just did. It's just a feel, and that's what makes him so good.
Among the first couple matches, Real Woods got off to an explosive start in the first period and kind of, I don't know if you could say cruise from there, but...
Yeah, you could say that.
The Thomas Muren match was good.
It was and it wasn't. I mean, it was a good match if you're Yaya Thomas or Northwestern. It wasn't good if you're Max Mirren and Iowa Hawkeye. We knew that was going to be the marquee match of the night. But Max Mirren did nothing to put himself in a position to win that match.
True.
And Max Mirren, he's a brawler. He's a banger. He's not your most athletic guy out there on the team. He wins wrestling matches by just grinding away and putting pressure after pressure on, just so much pressure on you throughout the wrestling match, and making the guy finally, you know, get out of position so he can get in a position where he wants to, and he can get a couple takedowns here and there. And he did none of that on Friday night, and I was really bummed by that. He played Thomas's game the entire time. Thomas was controlling his left side, inside tie, and we just allowed him to do it. We wrestled Yaya Thomas's match, and Yaya Thomas, super explosive and athletic, knows he needs a takedown. There's like 30 seconds left in the match, so he goes ahead, he hits one shot, makes it look easy, takes us down. You cannot wrestle guys like that, and that's not how you're going to win big matches.
On the other hand, Cassiope with a big win. Against Davison.
And I sound like a complainer right now, okay? But
he got his takedown.
He got his takedown, but he got one takedown off of one shot, okay? And then he's hanging on for dear life at the end of that match. For
he got
dear
a stalling life. Call.
He's literally waiting and watching that clock tick down as his legs and his feet are up in the air, and he's kind of in a real awkward position. He's hanging on to Davison's ankle, just watching that clock and praying for that clock to tick down before he gets taken down and loses the match. That is, again, not how you win wrestling matches. And I had this conversation with someone at the plunge the other night when someone mentioned that I'm a little hard on Tony Cassiope. I wouldn't be hard on Tony Cassiope if I didn't know Tony Cassiope had a ton of athleticism and he's 8 points better than Davison. Okay? But Tony Cassiope is way, way better than that, and he shouldn't be relying on one takedown, one shot, one takedown, and barely squeak it. When he loses that match, you know, what if he ends up getting taken down with 2 seconds left on the clock and he has no time to get out to tie the match up?
Seed down the line.
You know, it hurts a bunch of stuff,
yep.
You know, including his confidence. And that's why you come out, you score first, you score often, and you score last, you know. And you don't you come out trying to score a takedown right away, and you don't wait for the end. And then if you score one, then the second period, go get another one, and then another one. And then if you're up 9-3, and all of a sudden, Davison gets on a shot, takes you down with 2 seconds left, you lose 9-5, not as big of a deal. But when you're only up 3-2, you get taken down 2 seconds left, lose 4-3. That's a tough loss. That's a tough way to lose. And yeah, Davison's ranked fourth, but I really firmly believe he's 8 points better than him.
Nebraska coming up Friday night, and I'll just go on record. I'll take either Brands over Manning by at least a technical foul.
Hey, you never know. It could happen.
There's some great matches. This duel meet on... you know, everybody was kind of surprised. Everybody was really talking about the Northwestern Iowa match, how this could be close. And I mean, it could be. If it was kind of like the Iowa State meet where everything that really could go against Iowa goes against Iowa, they lose all the close matches or whatever, yeah, it could maybe be close. I mean, Cassiope gets taken down or whatever, you know. Seabrick gets beat. He had a big win the other night. He beat the number nine seeded guy in the country, or nine ranked guy in the country. But this Nebraska match, this one, it could be a close duel. I mean, there's some tight matches in here. This could be where we blow these guys out, or this could come down to the wire. You know, I mean, even Spencer Lee, I mean, he just wrestled the three-ranked guy in the country, DeAgostino, but also Cronin, who he's wrestled, just beat DeAgostino last Sunday, too. So this Cronin who we have just beat DeAgostino had a rough weekend,
yeah,
you know, for coming back. And now Cronin's ranked as high as third. So now Spencer has another guy who's moved up and is now ranked third in the country again. And then Spencer on Wednesday wrestles a guy that's ranked fourth, as high as fourth in the country. So this Big Ten at 125, that's a tough weight class. It's a good thing we got Spencer Lee in our lineup. my marquee matchup that I'm looking forward to against Nebraska on Friday night is 141 pounds, where Real Woods, who's ranked number two, will be taking on as high as ranked number four, Brock Hardy. Also, Peyton Robb at 157, who's ranked number one in the country, undefeated. He's going to be wrestling against Kobe Seabrook. Kobe Seabrook, big win the other night, and hopefully we can put ourselves in an opportunity and a contention to win this match at some point in this match. And then also 174, Mikey Labriola, who seems like he's been around as long as Michael Kemmer, is going to be taking on Nelson Brand. So it's a good opportunity for Nelson Brand to do something there too. So that dual meet, and Nebraska, they're wrestling pretty darn well lately. Wisconsin, that one should be pretty lopsided in the Hawkeye favor. That one gets going at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon now. It's also on the big BTN. Like I mentioned, 25, Barnett, he's pretty decent there. 149, that's a big match. You know, Austin Gomez and Max Mir. Mir's never beat Gomez before. That's an opportunity for Mir in to maybe right or wrong from losing to Thomas and get himself kind of back up there in the Big Ten rankings and the national rankings and start doing something good. So that was an awesome match between Gomez and Mir last year in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I look forward to another one up there in Madison. And then Patrick Kennedy is going to have a great matchup at 165 against Hamidi from Wisconsin as well, too. So that's a good opportunity for Patrick Kennedy to kind of test to see where he's at against one of the best in the country. So, but the overall, that one shouldn't be too tough of a duel altogether.
Question on the text line for you, Mark, from 5037, asking, other than conditioning and technique, how does a guy like Spencer Lee get better in the room? In a college room. We've seen his drill partners in the lineup before. That's the end of the text right there. But mentally for Spencer Lee, to get better, took apart the number three guy in the country, got another big match coming up on Friday night, like you mentioned. But how does he keep that focus? I mean, not many people can do it, but that's what makes Spencer Lee Spencer Lee.
Well, I think that Spencer is doing the right things to get better right now. And that's, he's got his weight under control. He's making the weigh-ins a lot easier now. He's performing, we haven't seen him really go past the first period in a while, but I'd like to see him almost wrestle second period, third period to kind of continue to keep pushing himself. But the great thing about Spencer Lee is he has to retrain. We talk about Spencer making, getting his weight under control and making weight and get his conditioning so he can, wrestle a full 7 minutes. The other thing is, so Spencer Lee, it's not like he's forgotten how to wrestle, but it's been so long since he's been healthy. I mean, like truly healthy. Not going back to where he won the NCAAs without two ACLs. He wasn't healthy then. He couldn't wrestle like Spencer Lee wants to wrestle then. And he was still able to win a national title. He's finally, knock on some wood around here, getting healthy enough to where he can start learning how to wrestle again. Lateral motion, hitting angles, hitting sweeps like he has been, like he did against Ramos, how he did against DeAgostino, and just getting his feet back up underneath him, like literally getting his balance and his movement and his motion down and learning how to hit sweeps and different shots. And so that becomes a drilling format in the room, is just really able to finally start working some different angles and working the left side on shots and just doing a lot of different things there. And you're almost kind of like relearning how to wrestle. As crazy as that might sound for Spencer Lee, there has a lot to do with that. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but as far as learning new moves and new techniques or whatever, yeah, you're always learning. You're never stop learning. That's a great thing about the sport, but more so just kind of relearning and getting the confidence back and hitting certain shots without tweaking that knee and being afraid of it and kind of relearning certain positions, especially from the feet. And that's what's making them so fun to watch and wrestle.
Also Friday night, we've got a little match out east, Penn State, Michigan. And, I mean, a lot of great matches there. Kirk Fleet and Paris going at it at heavyweight. It's 1-3, but is there a bigger gap there?
Yeah. I think there's a big gap. I don't see. I mean, I like the hype. I like how everybody's talking about it. And I know I'm going to be taping it and watching it, on TV as well, too. The pair, you heard the head, nail on the head with the Paris and Kirkley matchup. That's going to be a big match. That's and especially if they start at 25, it comes down to heavyweight. It's going to be fun to see. But the rest of it, I don't think Penn State's going to have a problem at all. And from a team standpoint, especially with the way that they've been wrestling against Michigan.
Yeah, that is 1-3. Michigan's undefeated. coming in, but they haven't met anybody like Penn State yet.
No, they haven't. And we've got a great schedule.
We've got both those teams coming up.
We've got Nebraska, and then we've got Michigan at home. We've got Penn State there, but we got some great matchups coming. And then we got Okie State at home too, which Okie State's kind of down this year or whatever. But I tell you what, and then we got Minnesota at Minnesota. They got some great individuals as well too. I tell you what, it's fun to be part of Iowa wrestling right now, and a lot of excitement and a lot of great matchups, whether you're home or away. So our fans in Carver-Hawkins Arena have really been treated this year, and they're really, really going to be treated when Michigan comes to town.
That'll be fun. 0818, who got a hold of us last week, said that his Florida plunge into the Gulf was ice-free and successful.
Mm-hmm. Ice-free and successful, yeah. That's more of a better plunge than... I might actually be in the water for a little while instead of getting out as fast as you can and looking for the edge. I mean, you go under and it's like you start... Like, you can't get to the edge fast enough. You're just... Your limbs will not move. You're trying to get them going.
Shock to the system, I guess. I don't know.
It is a shock to the system.
I've never done it. Really not looking forward to doing it, but... You never know. You never say never, right?
You don't.
You never say never.
Maybe that should be a goal of yours next year.
I knew you were going to say that, and I shouldn't just... I kept digging and digging. Just
hey, you got a lot of listeners out there. You could become a plunger. You just do it one time. Just one time.
I think there's going to be...
That would be fun.
I think there's going to be ball game on that date next year.
You see all these wrestlers on the Hawkeye Wrestling Club website, and then you got a picture of you, Nash.
No, oh, yeah. Nobody wants to see that.
In a single, Mark.
No, nobody really wants to see that.
No. We'll get him his own costume. We can figure something out.
We got a while.
That's an idea. I like it, though, Scott.
Geez.
I really like it.
Well, I'll go down to Florida and do it in the Gulf.
As long as it isn't the entire gym class.
Well, Isaac could jump for you. Oh, that got his attention. Well, great to have that on Saturday. And Friday night will be fun. We know that. It's always entertaining and interesting when Iowa and Nebraska get together.
What's the genesis of this whole thing?
What do you mean?
With Manning.
Don't we use big words? What do you mean by genesis?
How did it all start? Why
there is some history there. You got to remember, which a lot of people may not know, but Terry Brands left. When he left Iowa, he went to Nebraska as an assistant coach for Mark Manning for 1 year. He was only there for 1 year, and he actually was kind of like a personal coach to Brian Snyder, where Brian Snyder was a national finalist that year. He ended up losing in the finals, and Brian Snyder's still a coach at Nebraska. But Manny just – I was shocked that when Terry left Iowa, he went to Nebraska. Out of all places, to coach underneath Manning. But he just – I don't know. He just – his personality is just – it's
really
very – you know, it's really kind of interesting to talk to referees sometimes about Manny. Like, if they had to choose – and I know Tom and Terry can get pretty hot and ornery, as a lot of coaches can – but the least favorite team that they like to referee a duel for is Nebraska because of Mark Manning.
He's throwing a brick every match.
It's just, he's such a crybaby. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but he's a big crybaby. It's just, I don't know, he's different. But you know what? Whatever.
It's not going to take long.
It's going to be
before they get each other's attention on Friday night.
It will not at all. It will not at all. So the thing about Manning too is he likes to put on a show. He knows the crowd's watching. He knows that it's on TV. You know, he's got an ego and he likes to show it off. And so I don't know. We'll see. But it's always fireworks when you bring Mark Manning into town and you got Tom and Terry on the other side, and then Telford too. He gets a little chippy sometimes as well too. Morningstar's kind of the calmer, just kind of sit back type of guy, you know. But not Tom and Terry so much, or Telford.
Like KJ said yesterday when we were talking with him, that the brands is the hairs in the back of their neck. As soon as that Nebraska bus gets into Johnson County, it just kind of stands up.
I can see that. And Tom's been pretty ornery lately. Tom. On edge, and I think he's just kind of he's been frustrated because the team's been the injuries that we've had to deal with, and just Tom, like, just and I love Tom, and Tom and I are great friends. I could just tell lately that he just, like, you walk into the room, you walk into the arena, and you interview him and stuff. He just He's just on edge. He's like, he's pretty ornery. He just, I think a lot of it just has to do with the injuries and not being able to put the full team out there like you want to put out there. And it just, it sucks. It's unfortunate. And I feel bad for the guy from that standpoint because he's doing everything he can. We got the best medical staff in the country. That's just the way it goes.
Well, that'll be Friday night. And should be entertaining.
Very. It will be very, very entertaining. And I really appreciate all the fans that come to Carver Hawkeye Arena when you don't have to at 8 o'clock at night. And it's on the Big Ten Network Live that are in there. That place was packed on last Friday night against Northwestern. I mean packed. And so were all the restaurants beforehand. I met some people and we went out to dinner. And it was just, it's just an awesome atmosphere, on Carver-Hawkeye Arena on Friday nights when we're wrestling 8 p.m. matches. It just really, really is. And it's fun to see and fun to watch and appreciate the Iowa fans and all the support that they give us.
No one's going to be sleeping in this one Friday night.
And it kind of helped to have Spencer Lee as the last match. I mean,
yeah.
There was nobody that left when he's taking on the number three ranked guy in the country. And then he goes out and pins it.
It would have been up for grabs if Northwestern had forfeited that.
Yeah, if they would have forfeited, that would have that.
I would not have wanted to see that.
That would have been ugly, really, yeah. Really, really ugly.
All right, take care, man. We'll talk next week. All right, thanks a lot, fellas. Always appreciate it. All right, Mark Ironside and his appearance again brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll get you a big board update and have more for you on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this on KGYM.
Shop Menards today and save big money on our full selection of interior lighting options from Patriot Lighting. Find your style with Patriot Lighting's great selection of unique finishes and styles. From flush mount lighting to chandeliers, vanity lights to recessed lighting, under cabinet lights and more. We have the lighting options for any room of your home. Stop in today and save big money on interior lights from Patriot Lighting at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to up your game with Elite Sportsbook. With new daily boosts, free bet promotions, exciting parlays, and some of the best odds, Elite Sportsbook is even more than before. You'll stay in control with live in-game betting and early cash outs. Sign up today, and Elite will give you a bet rebound up to $250 with Iowa's most user-friendly sports betting app. Download our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality, and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And we will get to a Bowling Night in America update for you and preview coming up here in just a little bit. But right now at 3:48, let's throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock. And hats off to everybody over there, Jamie and Chris and Dave and the entire staff. What we got today?
College football, Maryland got good news. It's quarterback Talia Tagovailoa.
Or something like that.
Or something like that. Will return for another season.
They're good.
They are good.
Maryland is good football team.
Zach Johnson is back on the course tomorrow at the American Express tournament at PGA West. The first three rounds are on three different courses. Excuse me. Zach will play with Russell Knox on the stadium course at 10:41 Central Time. It was announced today the Iowa-Illinois men's basketball game is sold out February 4th. And a couple pieces of news in high school basketball. Kennedy ascended to the number one ranking in the big class this week and celebrated with a victory, a big victory over Dubuque Senior last night, another ranked team. And finally, Brayson Lobby has become the all-time leading scorer in boys basketball at Marion High School, breaking a 71-year-old record that was held by Hugh Leffingwell in 1952. Leffingwell, an interesting story. He only played basically 2 years at Marion, went to Iowa, slated to possibly be a starter, but developed a blood disease and died in 1954. Yeah, that was before three-point goals.
Yes, it was.
He was brought up, Leffingwell, that is, at the end of his sophomore season to the varsity. Basically scored 1,300 and some odd points in his last 2 years.
Yeah, another milestone last night. Jenna Tweet at Benton Community became Benton Community's all-time leading scorer, surpassing Madison Weekly, who went on to play at UNI. So, congratulations to Jenna Tweet. So a couple of milestones last night. We were trying to think of this. Jeff Johnson and I were the other night that the last number one team, big school, big class team out of Cedar Rapids. You got to go back to the Bohannon era for Linmar. And that is back like late zeros in 2010, something like that. Last time the city had a number one team. Now it doesn't. I know John McCowan would like to have that at the end of the season instead of right now, but he'll take both, right?
Yeah, of course, in the mid-'80s, it was Kennedy Linmar vying back and forth for supremacy in the big class. And you've had Regis in not the big class, but been ranked number one. Let's see if Kennedy is a really good basketball
team.
They're
really good. Yeah, if you have not seen them, go out there and take a look at them. That is a good, fun basketball team. 3:51 here in the gym class on KGYM. Women's basketball, we have it for you tonight, 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies here on KGYM. 18th-rated Iowa State will play host to the Oklahoma State. I hate saying Cowgirls. I know they want to say Cowgirls, but it's Oklahoma State tonight. Good matchup. Okie State is 13-4, 3-2 in the Big 12. Iowa State also 3-2 in the Big 12, and 11-4 overall. And this is one Iowa State really needs to get. Obviously, playing now without Stephanie Soares out there, who is out for the season with a knee injury. And this is one, if Iowa State wants to stay in the running for the Big 12 regular season championship, they really need to get this one.
It's a different team now.
It is. It is. And it's a shame. It's just a shame because they were pointing at this season after Coach Fenley got that young lady to come in there and play at 6'6". And you got to retool everything, basically, and go back to the drawing board when she's out for the rest of the season. So that's Iowa State. The Iowa women tonight are in East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Never easy up there. Now, Michigan State is not quite what they've been the last several seasons, Mark, but still, it's a tough place to play, and they're a very good program up there in East Lansing.
Yeah, it's another team like Penn State that pressed a lot, but look what happened to Penn State against Iowa. Got demolished.
Oh, Iowa played about as good a game as it could have. Hopefully, we're going to effort Lisa Bluter next week and try to get her on the program. We haven't talked with Lisa yet, or Jan Jensen, so we'll try to do that coming up for you next week here. Tomorrow, Gary Dolphin will join us, and we're going to talk with Gary about Iowa basketball, etc. Do that on the program, and then the coach, Kevin Lehman, going to join us as well coming up tomorrow on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll look back at the Iowa and Iowa State women's games tonight as well, and that lone Big Ten game on Wednesday night between Ohio State and Nebraska. And also, we'll talk a little bit, I think, and just to wrap things up and look back upon the Chris Street documentary tonight. I guess, can I safely say documentary, or the Big Ten Network presentation of the Chris Street story, if you will. It's going to be tonight, approximately 8 o'clock. It's going to air after the Ohio State-Nebraska game. Really looking forward to it. Talking with Kenyon Murray, people like that. They had Kenyon on. They had Jess Settles on. Jim Nance is going to be on it. Just everybody associated with Iowa basketball around that time. Bert Hansen, the coach at Indianola at that time, who was still coaching. He's an assistant coach now in the Des Moines area. He was Chris Street's high school coach for the Indianola Indians. And, that's going to be fun, but, boy, that's going to be a one Kleenex box night, I think, for everybody out there that was around.
Yeah, I would imagine so, and look forward to viewing it, having lived that day and night in 1993. It's always has been vivid in my memory. And I'd be interested to see how the Big Ten Network portrays them. I'm sure they'll do a very good job.
And that's a night you'll never forget. I think it's one of those two nights and days, if you will, that just kind of pass, for me anyway, that I'm kind of anesthetized by it because of the fact that that, along with the shootings on the University of Iowa campus. I mean, covering it back then, and it was way different than it is now. There was no internet, there was no computers, there were no, you know, this and that. You got your information from the State Patrol. You got your information from reporters that had to make their way down there, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I remember the night I was doing a basketball game at the old Linmar gym. Bob Carey, the AD, then told us that Chris was in a bad car accident. Immediately went down to the downtown to KCRG. You were at the Gazette. And, man alive, it's just it was a night that went by in a blur. And it was just different trying to get the news out that night, and I'm sure you can say that as well, then really never had a chance to just sit back and go, man, what happened? I mean, that's kind of the way I still feel about it now.
In terms of our coverage at the Gazette that night, two or three things pop out. I think I could be wrong about this, but Mike Halas was already headed to Iowa City before I could assign him to do so. And that was Mike, and mm-hmm. still is Mike. Secondly, we had a couple guys calling coaches, from Johnny Orr to Judd Heathcoat to Bob Knight Gene Cady. And we collected a lot of quotes that night, and it just... So many prominent coaches weighing in on the life and career of Chris Street struck me. Another chapter tonight.
Yeah. 8186 says, was fortunate enough to play against Chris at a team camp at Simpson College. He was a handful for any of our guys to guard. Saw him again at the state tournament that year. Just a great kid. No doubt about it. And we'll enjoy the story tonight on BTN. They do a really good job with those things, and I'm sure they'll do a good job with that coming up tonight. We got a Bowling Night in America preview to get to, Mark.
I'll make it quick. It's a match.
You got a minute.
A matchup of third place and fourth place teams. Diamond Edge in third. Rusty Nails in fourth. Lanes 31 and 32. Far right end of the house out there in Mays City. And we'll give you a recap tomorrow.
We will. We are on 31 and 32 more than any team. We got to talk to Mike Hoskins about this. Yeah, I know he'll say the computer picks it, but man alive, that wall in us. we won't tell some people on our team that we're on 31 and 32 tonight.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, thanks to Bay City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America. Gary Dolphin and Kevin Lehman will join us coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show comes your way next at 4. And then Iowa State women's basketball tonight at 6.
Meet Joe A.
Hi.
Joe B.
Hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising to